Hi, I'm Katie Masouris, a security strategist with Microsoft. I am here with one of my favorite people, Dan Kaminsky, the director of penetration testing at IOActive, based here in Seattle. So, Dan, thanks for coming to Blue Hat, as you always do.
It's a blast.
That's right. And so let me know what you've been working on.
I know it's going to surprise a lot of people. I've been playing more games with DNS.
No.
I know.
Stop it.
actually, I've been playing with, looking at apparently a whole new class of bugs. You know, there are server bugs, there are mistakes on servers, you fix them. There are client bugs, the browsers have issues, you make mistakes, you fix them. You know, I really don't want to have to worry about my ISPs. I don't want to have to worry about my ISPs ad servers having bugs. I don't want to have to worry about my ISP's ad servers having bugs and injecting those bugs into every website that I browse.
That sounds like a huge problem. How did you stumble upon this?
Well, I've been looking into net neutrality issues for some time. And net neutrality is completely obsessed with, are the ISPs actually sending you what the legitimate site provided?
Right.
There's something that I call the Times Square effect. You know, when you see Times Square in a movie, that's not Times Square. Every single ad has been replaced because there's no contractual obligation not to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you think about it, at the end of the day, there's no contractual obligation between Comcast and Google, or Cox and Google, or Verizon and Google, or Earthlink and Google, to actually show the real site. What is the end result? Well, we saw with the Times Square effect, eventually Times Square gets completely changed. I don't want that to happen to the internet.
Wow.
It's my career is about securing the web. It's about making it safe to access resources. And if I don't know as a security engineer what's actually going to reach the client, then how can I succeed?
So tell me about how this vulnerability goes down, step by step. Walk me through as best you can without revealing the dirty dirty.
Well, the dirty dirty. let me tell you, I've dealt with more lawyers in the last couple of weeks.
Well, we don't want to take you to Lawyer Town.
No. I visited Lawyer Town, and I'm on the good side of Lawyer Town. They're pissed off at the other guy.
Yeah, just keep the windows rolled up and the doors locked at all times.
Exactly. So here's the deal, right? You know, you've got these ISPs, and they actually start off kind of with a reasonable statement. They're like, look, everyone's using our lines, and they're making a whole bunch of money, and we're not even getting an ad in. We're not even getting an impression in. We're just like this dumb channel. How about this? How about if the internet doesn't have anything good to provide, we throw an ad in. Maybe tell the user, hey, you typoed, you know, you missed an O in Google, you type goggle, here's an ad. And maybe here's where the real Google is. Now, that seems reasonable, right? Make a few bucks, give users a better experience.
Capitalism.
I think the basic idea is if, you know, I think I'm not taking a position on the basic idea. Where they went wrong is they didn't just do non-existent domain.com.
Right.
They did non-existent domain.existentdomain.com.
They did subdomains.
They did subdomains. Uh-oh. They did randomstuff.microsoft.com, randomstuff.google.com, randomstuff.myspace.com.
Well, that's got all kinds of security implications.
Well, yes, because subdomains have some element of the trust of their parent domain.
Absolutely.
So if there was a security vulnerability in this random ad server being put into a subdomain, well, you know, that's going to affect the parent, and in fact, it's going to affect every possible parent, and that's actually what I found. That there was a trivial, straightforward, it's an ad server. You know, advertisers have many priorities in life. Securing their website is not one of them.
So we're talking, you know, if there's like a cross-site scripting vuln in ad server subdomain gobbledygook.google.com.
It hit Google.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And so so I had three attacks here. I mean, first I showed, hey, grab the cookie, get the personally identifiable information, get all that good stuff. Then I said, hey, you know, I can make fake sites within Google. I can have, you know, server2.www.google.com or server2.www.yourbank.com or server2 whatever. But I wanted to have some fun.
Like it wasn't fun enough.
Well,
okay.
Could people go, well, it's not like you're really getting into the real site. Or, well, you don't actually read any of the trusted content back. So
but yes, you
Well, so what I ended up playing some tricks. Because the subdomain ultimately is partially trusted by the parent, I figured out how to get from the subdomain to the parent. And in fact, there's an entire element called document domain that lets you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got stuff at randomstuff.facebook.com, and from randomstuff.facebook.com, I opened up www.facebook.com, fully logged in, and I kind of added 1980s pop star Rick Astley to Facebook.
You Rickrolled Facebook.
I totally Rickrolled Facebook. I totally Rickrolled MySpace, AP News, Fox News, Apple, Microsoft.
Well, you know, you gotta Rickroll everybody if you're Rickroll.
And, you know, it's a rather effective way of saying, guys, get out of other people's domains.
Wow. So, is there hope? What can be done about it? What are the ISPs doing? Or you've talked to them, right?
Oh yes. Yeah. That's why I said I've talked to more people. I mean, this is the joy and pain of responsible disclosure. The joy is things get fixed. You know, the fundamental the immediate bug, the cross-site scripting issue, which was originally found in a company called Bearfruit, which Earthlink was using, was eventually found again in a completely separate implementation from PaxFire, which Verizon was using.
Sure.
I got in touch with both of them. PaxFire fixed it in 24 hours. Bearfruit fixed it in about 27 minutes.
Wow. Like,
these guys got on the immediate issue. But they're still forging other people's DNS records. Mm. And the DNS records have trademarked content. It's, you know, nonexistent.www.facebook.com, the trademarked name, and then ad server. Right. Now, trademark has a concept of use in commerce. If an ad server is not use in commerce, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are the ISPs taking steps now to put new contracts in place with their ad servers or something?
I think the ISPs, you know, I've spent a lot of time working in corporate America, and the reality is things take time.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal as a security engineer is get the immediate security risk dealt with.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff that can be done in 27 minutes or 24 hours. Figuring out the policy statement of, hey, maybe it's wildly illegal for us to use other people's trademarks in commerce.
You think?
I actually understand. I don't approve of it, but I understand that this is something that takes longer, and this is something that, you know, this huge batch of lawyers over here has to deal with this relatively small batch of lawyers over here and be like, please stop forging our records.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the bottom line is there's every website on the internet that potentially is having their records forged, and that's a lot of people who, frankly, are going to end up demanding their property rights be respected.
Wow. So, you have inadvertently wandered into downtown lawyer town with your security research. Good one.
I'm just saying, you know, I see what they're trying to do. I want the internet to work for commerce.
Right.
And it turns out that if you fundamentally break DNS, you fundamentally break commerce. We're all businessmen.
Mm-hmm.
Businessmen, businesswomen, this is what we do. And if the ISPs are acting in a manner that makes it impossible to do business, then that causes harm.
Right.
And that's what my goal is to prevent.
Right. And you are demonstrating through the relatively innocuous art form of Rickrolling what could really happen.
I needed something that would be recognizable, but not terrifying.
True.
Because remember, I could have just as easily logged into Facebook, read out all the mail, sent a bunch of mail, sent a bunch of invites, you know, and moved on from there. You know, hey, I am this user. And I am, in fact, every user on every page. I could have been going after financials. I could have been going after all sorts of things. And that's, there is a fear level. I wanted people to understand and respect this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the sheer amusement of using Rick Astley to help secure the internet. What can I say? It's just beautiful.
It is, and it's what Blue Hat is all about, Rickrolling the internet. Now, it's actually about making Microsoft products more secure, and we're always happy to have you here at Blue Hat. I believe you have been and spoken at every single Blue Hat.
I have indeed.
You are actually, you have a career of just speaking at Blue Hat. Well, we're definitely going to see you again and again, and it's always a pleasure. Is there any last thoughts that you want to roll out there?
Just, I always have a great time here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming.